Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
You with us? Okay. A blessing just to share the word this morning. And I want to start us off with looking at the book of 1 Timothy. And I really am enjoying just working through Timothy again. It's so cool for me to see the heart of Paul, Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, a younger minister. He was with Paul on some of his trips and kind of been raised up as a leader, and he's still a young man, but Paul sends him to the congregation at Ephesus to go and deal with some challenges there and dealing with some issues. And so he writes these letters to him, and it's so cool for me to see the kind of the concern that he has for this young guy in the faith, not in the faith, but in the ministry. And I can just see how he wants him to do well, right? He wants him to succeed. Yes, he's got a heart for the congregation. He wants the congregation to flourish, but he's giving him advice. He's giving him direction. He's saying, this is what this is how you should handle this. And remember this kind of thing. And he also says, be careful of that. He can see, and I can also relate to that. He wants him to do well, to flourish in the ministry there. He wants the congregation to flourish. So he's pointing out some pitfalls, and he's warning about this and that, and he's encouraging him as well. And so I want us to look at the last bit of the first Timothy and see how he ends off his letter, bits there. He's in chapter 6, he says, teach and urge these things. And then he warns about a couple of things again. And then he says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. So he says, get rid of those, flee of those things. And then he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he talks about what he should be pursuing, talks about what he should be avoiding, fight the good fight of the faith. And and it's actually, he's kind of concluding in mentioning a couple of things which he also mentioned right at the beginning of his letter, kind of summarizing, saying, just remember this and this and this. And it's such an apt picture because there is a fight going on, there is a battle going on, there is a wrestle going on, and we see in Scripture that there's an enemy of our souls that comes against us. We see this dynamic of a spiritual battle happening. And, often we just feel like life is throwing so much at us, but the reality is there's a dynamic that's part of that, that is the spiritual battle that we are engaged in. But I want us to look at what does he say right at the beginning, tying in with this, these last thoughts that he shares with him. And then I'm going to look at a couple of practical things around those things that he shares. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is right at the beginning. And he says there, now, this is a classic Paul introduction. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. So can you see there, he's already there talking about a good warfare. He's already there talking about faith and a good conscience. But I want us to focus on this verse here. If we go to the next one, verse 5. It says, and he's giving him a clue here, a very important clue. He says, the aim of this whole thing that I'm writing to you, the aim of this charge, this instruction, this mandate, basically, that I'm giving you, the aim of it is love. The aim of our charge is love. And the love that is referred to there is the agape love. So that's not the human or the romantic or the friendship kind of love. This is the love that is demonstrated by Christ. So he's talking about that sacrificial self, that giving love, that self-sacrificial love that Christ demonstrated to us. So he says, this is the aim. This is where we're heading towards. This is what we are fighting for. We're talking about the fight of faith. But what are we fighting for? He says, this is what we're fighting for. That this may be true in our lives, that this may be true among us, that this may be flourishing. This kind of love will flourish in our congregation, will flourish in our relationship, will flourish in the way that we interact with the world around us. Jesus says that the world will know that we are his disciples by the way that we love each other. So he's saying this is the aim. And he says this love comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So in his book, in his letter, he gives a lot of advice about leadership and about elders and deacons, this and that, and watch out for this. And it's a really great letter to go and read. So please do yourself a favor. But let's have a look a bit at this, this concept of the aim that is love. What are the obstacles of love? And I'm just going to mention three. And how can we take up this? How can we, as we grow in sincere faith, how can we overcome these obstacles, these things that oppose this love that is the aim of the charge that we've been given? Amen. So, firstly, one of the things that we see that opposes this love, and he talks about this. He says it's having a good conscience. And so one of the key things that opposes love is guilt, is walking under guilt, walking under condemnation. And the interesting thing, when the enemy tries to get us to feel guilty permanently, right? That's his job. He's the accuser. He's the liar. So he's continually trying to remind us of the past, trying to take us back to what's in the past and what has happened and stuff that has gone wrong. And if he manages to get us to dwell on that, he's basically won off the battle. Getting us to dwell on the stuff that we've messed up in the past and getting us, bowing under guilt and under shame. What happens there, and it's funny, if you think about it, if you feel guilty about something, it's almost like you're punishing yourself a little bit, right? You're hanging on to this guilt and shame. And it's as if you're trying to almost punish yourself, but somewhere in that there's a perverse, twisted thing that thinks that by feeling guilty, I'm going to get kind of be closer to God. Or I'm going to be more accepted because I'm showing guilt. But that's not the truth. If you think about it, guilt pulls us away from the Father. When we sit wallowing in guilt and we sit under that heavy burden of guilt, we tend to go into self-centered depression kind of mode. We don't go closer to God. Guilt and shame pulls us away from Him, right? Condemnation, as we heard before, one of those words shared, that condemnation pulls us away from God. He did not send Christ to condemn us, but so that through Him we might be saved. So this is opposes love. It brings us to a place where we self-centered, we get depressed, we sit in self-pity, and that directly opposes love, because this kind of love is active, right? But when we're sitting like this, and we're inward focused, and we're sitting in self-pity, and you don't have to raise your hands here, but I'm sure we've all been there, you're not thinking about anybody else, right? If you're sitting in that place of, oh, this thing is so heavy, and I'm not getting through this, or this cycle in my life is just repeating, that self-pity, it's all about you. And it's all about my issues and my drama, and I'm not focusing on anybody else. So that directly opposes this kind of self-sacrificial love. And the other place where we can see this so clearly is in marriage. When there's a lot of guilt and a lot of heaviness that we carry in any kind of relationship, it's very difficult for us to recognize the need of the other person in the relationship, because we are so focused on ourselves, right? And the other angle we could take is that to try and overcome, we're trying to guard or cover our guilt and our shame and our condemnation. The other side is going to hypocrisy, trying to pretend, trying to keep up some kind of appearance. And again, that destroys relationship. That kind of fakeness destroys relationships. And again, it opposes the aim of the charge, the love that God wants to see us flourish in. Okay, so how does faith oppose? How does faith cast out or deal with guilt and shame and condemnation? I'm just going to go to the next scripture here in Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. So, you know, think of it, you know, when we think about the armor of God that is described in the scripture, it talks about the sword of the Spirit. You know, it says that in a spiritual sense, before I get to this, that it talks about the sword of the Spirit. And I'm always reminded when I think about that, you know, it talks about the word of God being like a weapon in our hand, so that you are equipped with the word to be able to engage in spiritual battle. And I will never forget the first time I heard this, the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to me about this sword of the Spirit. The image I had was, you know, I'm full of faith and I'm trusting God and I'm growing in my faith in God. And then the Lord showed me that my sword is a little pocket knife this big. And I was shocked, because that's not what you want to go into battle with, right? If the serious stuff is going down, you don't want to pull out little toothpick size weapon, okay? And it's as if the Holy Spirit just dropped in my heart that you need to put yourself in a space where you can engage with the Word of God, whether it be the encounters, like Elizabeth was saying, or whether it be Bible school. Where are you making sure that you have the sword of the Spirit in your hand, that it can actually be worth something in a battle? Amen? So I don't know if that's for somebody here, but don't stick with a toothpick. Go for the sword of the Spirit, right? Equip yourself in the Word. Let's look what he says here, and he says it in Hebrews chapter 9. So how do we oppose that guilt and shame? Hebrews 9, this is taking up the sword of the Spirit, taking up the Word. Verse 28 says, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. He has been offered once to bear our sin and the sin of the whole world. Verse 10:14 says, for by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the faith that we have in the grace of God demonstrated through Christ is the weapon that we can use against guilt and shame and condemnation coming against us. So I want to encourage you, we are not helpless when the enemy comes at us, right? We are not left to our own devices. Christ says, and when we put our faith in his promise and the grace that he and the love that he has demonstrated on the cross, we can oppose and we can stand against this onslaught of guilt and shame and condemnation. Now, the challenge with this stuff, it's not a passive thing. Right? This is not something that happens when we're sitting in that place of self-pity and wallowing in that place of doubt. And it's a place where we have to step out and say, this is the truth. This is what God says about me. Sometimes we need other believers around us to say, to encourage us when we're struggling to step into the truth of what God says about us. Amen? So that might mean getting to a small group. That might mean making sure I'm regularly putting myself in a space where I can agree in prayer with a brother or a sister or somebody that can, when I'm struggling, can encourage me. Are you with me? So firstly, push against that onslaught of guilt and shame and condemnation by lifting up the sword of the Spirit, by putting our faith in what he has done on the cross. Amen? Then secondly, another one that's a massive opposition that opposes love. And we often speak about fear as directly opposing faith. So it makes sense that it also goes directly against the love, which is the aim, what we're aiming for. Firstly, when we are fearful, again, we are often so focused on what's going on here. I'm fearful about something. I'm paralyzed because of this fear. Often and we see this a lot. You know, this age that we're in with all the information that's available to everybody all the time at the same time is crazy. It's not all good, isn't it? I think sometimes having so much information about what's going on in the world is terrible. When your kids are small, they know, they believe daddy can do anything and knows everything, right? And then they come at that age where they ask you a lot of questions. So they ask a lot of why. Yes, a lot of why. And it can get tough. And then they come to a point where they want you to explain a lot of stuff, right? So I had a lot of those questions. I love it because the kids want to know things. But I noticed over the years, the kids have realized as they're growing up, daddy doesn't know everything, okay? So they've come to terms now with this that, okay, it's not happening. So the question has changed over the years. Guess what they ask now? Daddy, can you Google? Can you ask Google for me? So it's not daddy, can you explain this? It's not like that anymore. It's daddy, can you ask Google for me? And it goes. So all this knowledge out there, it's bringing such a lot of fear. I mean, we're afraid of things that when I was young, we didn't even know about. The stuff that grips so many phobias, the list of phobias is just growing. The list of things that paralyze people, things that 100 years ago nobody even knew about, 20 years ago. But now all these things are in our face all the time, and it fuels that thing that wants to push us into direction where we are fearful all the time. And that is directly opposes us walking in faith. Okay, so a big challenge around fear is that fear binds us and often causes us not to walk in obedience. For us to walk in obedience to what God is saying, we need faith. And we cannot afford fear in our lives. Now, I'll be the first to say that the reality is we do experience fear. So don't become guilty and don't get condemned because you're feeling some form of fear or anxiety. I'd rather bring it to God, right? So yes, if it happens, bring it to God. If you feel fearful or anxious about something, bring it to God. Deal with it. Don't get stuck in that place of that cycle. I need to be a bit quicker. All right. So we get stuck in disobedience. We get paralyzed in all these phobias that want to ensnare us. And we are not aware of what's going on around us because we are so busy with all these things that I'm stressed about and worried about and concerned about and anxious about that I'm not loving people around me. Are you with me? I'm not even loving myself properly when we're stuck in that place of fear. So how do we deal with fear? We bring it into the light. We acknowledge it. We humble ourselves. We allow the grace of God to come in. All right, and we speak the sword of the Spirit. We speak the word of faith over that situation. Isaiah 4, verse 10, God speaks. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This is the promise of the Father. And you know, last week, Philip was ministering about the promises of God, him being a promise keeper, right? So if you missed that, go and catch up online. But this is his promise. And he has not called us as his children to live in a permanent place of fear. Even if we live in a society that is completely bound by fear, we are different. I mean, so if you see that cycle in your life, that cycle of stress, that cycle of anxiety, that cycle of panicking about things, God has got something different prepared for his children. Don't settle for that. Hallelujah. If you need to chat to somebody, do that. If you need to see somebody that can do, you know, counsel you or give you some direction, do that. If you need to deal with that, step into the light. That's when we humble ourselves, that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. When we humble ourselves, when we say, yes, this is a challenge in my life, then the grace comes. Amen? So let's do that. Let's deal with that fear. All right, then thirdly, greed is a problem. Okay, now this is not for you guys, all right? I know this is, you guys are all mature. We're all mature Christians, yeah? But in the world out there, and that guy that you're thinking of that should be in church this morning, that's a problem, right? And the challenge with greed is it's subtle. Everything, the society we live in, the world we live in, is designed to chase after things and material things rather than eternal things that are of eternal and spiritual value. So everything around us is pointing in one direction, and the kingdom of God points in the opposite direction. So this is one of those things that we need to actively oppose in our lives unless we want to walk in the same direction, all right? So again, if greed has us holding on to things. Greed has us clinging on to, whether it be little or a lot, it has us clinging onto time, resources, clinging onto anything that we can. And that closed-handedness means that we cannot receive the blessing that God has for us. You know, that clinging onto things means I'm unable to give of myself. I'm unable to serve, and I'm unable to love people around me in the way that God is calling us to do. The love that we're talking about is that self-sacrificial kind of love. And when we are clinging onto everything, that directly opposes that love flourishing through us. Are you with me? So this is a big one, right? And it's all around. So this is challenging. It's all around. Okay. Sometimes, this greed is often connected with a fear of lack, fear of not having enough. And that can paralyze us. And I've seen one of the most powerful deliverances that God can do in our lives is when, you know, they say that the last thing that gets saved, the last thing that gets transformed is your wallet, right? But I've seen such powerful deliverance in lives of believers when the kingdom of God comes in their finances, when they're able to humble themselves. When we are able to say, "Lord, I'm making a mess of this. Please help me. I need input. I need wisdom. I need lots of grace." And to see that transformation happen, the deliverance, where God delivers us of those fears and of greed and of those chains that bind us, it's powerful to see. And you see people turning from that, from greed, into such generous living, and that is where the kingdom of God comes. That is where that love is manifested again in a generous way, and that is what God has prepared for us. Right? Matthew 13:44. The way that we oppose greed is when we see, when you recognize that Christ Himself is the wealth, is worth more than all the wealth in all the world. And that when we start pursuing Him instead of pursuing the treasures of this world, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. That revelation of Christ and His kingdom is the true treasure that I want to pursue. All the other stuff is going to burn, right? All the stuff, everything I can gather while I'm on earth, it's all going to burn. But the kingdom and His righteousness and Christ Himself, that treasure is something that I can take with me into eternity. And that is what is of true value. So if you see that cycle in your life, take this scripture, take this word, and trust the Holy Spirit to turn that around. That instead of chasing after stuff, we can pursue Him. We can pursue His kingdom and the treasure that is eternal. All right. As we fight the fight of faith, we can expel these, the things that oppose faith, the things that oppose love. We can deal with them decisively. And I want to encourage us this morning. I'm going to close now. But be proactive. Bible school is happening. Encounters are happening. What a joy that we are able to, in a community of believers, we're able to encourage one another to say, you know what, let's do this thing. Let's get around to the encounters. Let's equip ourselves. Let's put ourselves in a position where we can fight this good fight. We can flourish in what God has prepared for us. Sometimes we need a little bit to come to a point where we say, you know what, I'm fed up. I don't want to settle for this nonsense anymore. I don't want to settle for living in fear anymore. I don't want to go the same way that I can see everybody out there in the world going. I know God has got something different. And there's this holy anger and discontentment that needs to rise up in our hearts for us to be able to make that turn. Because that turn, that change is hard, right? It's difficult. It's challenging. It's uncomfortable. But I believe when we make that turn and we say, God, I need Your grace. I need Your presence. I need the power of Your Spirit. He meets us right there. And maybe you're thinking right now, Yaki, you don't know where, how far and behind I am. That I don't know, maybe. But I do know that His grace is sufficient. And I do know that He has made a way for you. Let's stand this morning. I just want to read this last one a bit again. Again, from chapter 6, he says, and this is the charge, right? The charge is like the mandate, the instruction. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus. I want to speak the same over us. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal salvation. Don't settle for the lie of the devil. Don't settle for that guilt. Don't settle for just making it, although I'm halfway bound to my past and trying to move forward. Don't settle for that. He has made a way. The weapon that He gives us, the faith, the sword of the Spirit that He gives us, the faith that we have in Him, the faith and the trust we have in His faithfulness is more than able to deal with everything that opposes the love of God and the purposes of God. He has not left us defenseless. And He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, without which all of this is worthless. He has left us the helper. He said, I'm sending you another helper. The Parakletos, the one that will come alongside you. Maybe that's a word for somebody this morning, that if you're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit, then He's inviting you to receive that, to live in the fullness of that power. And that's a part of what we're dealing with at Life Encounter next Sunday morning. Don't miss out on that. I'm just reminded, you know, when Jesus, just before He ascended, He says to His disciples, guys, it's better for you that I go. Now they've walked with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, through 3 years. How can anything be better? They've seen Him raise people from the dead. They've seen Him walk on water. They've seen Him do incredible miracles. I'm sure they must have said, "You, what are you talking about?" It's better for you. Better than walking with Christ in the flesh. And He says, no, it's better for you. Because if I go, I will send you the Holy Spirit. So He was saying, the Holy Spirit in us and with us right now is better than Christ in the flesh with us. That means something, guys. That is what He's left us. That is what He's poured out. And if you're not walking in that power of the Spirit, then you're missing out. Then He's inviting you this morning to step up and to say, I need that in my life. I need that sword of the Spirit. I need that power. I need to, because I'm losing. Maybe you feel like, I've been in a fight. I feel like I've been slapped from every side, but I'm at the losing end. Now, I've got good news. He's won the fight for us. But we can position ourselves in a place where we walk in that victory. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You for Your love. Thank You that this is the love that You also call us to walk in. That love that sacrifices, that love that gives more than it takes, that love that lays itself down. As You lay down Your life, Lord, I think You call us to do the same. And this morning we humbly come. And we acknowledge, Lord, that the reality is that the world we live in is so different, God. And when we look again, we recognize some of these cycles in our lives. We recognize the things in our lives that are opposing Your kingdom coming, that are opposing this love, that are opposing faith that You have given us and that You've called us to walk in. So we humbly come and we bring these things before You, just where You're standing right now. Something, the Holy Spirit has pointed out something, just bring it to Him right now. Say, Lord, I recognize fear in my heart. I recognize greed. Oh, I recognize this thing that paralyzes me, or this guilt that is so heavy on me. Whatever that is, just bring it to Him right now, just where You're standing. Say, Lord, please, I need Your grace. Thank You that You've made provision for this on the cross. If you need to repent, do that right now. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been stuck in this cycle. Please forgive me. And then say, Lord, come and transform me. Thank You for the blood of Jesus. Thank You that the perfect love of God casts out all fear. Thank You that You promise that we do not have to be afraid. Thank You, Lord, that You say that in Christ that we are new creation, that the old is past, everything has become new, and that we are no longer under condemnation. We thank You, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.